The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of God according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Sanyasa it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. Therefore a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old. And therefore they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. But if in the same Brahma Samhita, that is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has an eternal form as a fresh youth. These words used in this connection in the Srimad Bhagavatam are Vijnanam Ajnani Bhid Aparmarjanam. Vijnanam means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijnanam is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of the cyclic succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vijnanam, as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience, and in that way presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. Ajnani Bhid means that which can match all kinds of speculation. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, and sometimes he has form, according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is Vijnanam, scientific experience knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no doubt about it. Sri Krishna's form, Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that this Jnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, without your appearing as Krishna, you are neither a Jnanabhid, or nescience of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnanam. Nor Vijnanam would be realized. Ajnanibhid Arjanam. By your appearance, the speculative knowledge of this will be vanquished, and the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. Men, influenced by the three modes of material nature, imagine their own God according to the modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways. But your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. It's not at all an uncommon thing. We all experience it regularly. Persons who are interested in God, unfortunately for the most part, have no information about the personality of Godhead. Therefore, this is one of the reasons for Krishna's appearance. It is made very clear here. So who God is does not have to be a speculative matter. This afternoon, of course, most of the people here are persons who have a very good understanding of Krishna. This afternoon I spent about 2 hours with a young man, a student, who has been taking an interest in the Vedic scripture, also is interested in examining various religions of the world. Great length and great pain we were going over on all days of the year, on Janmashtami day, some explanation of how it is possible to understand who the personality of Godhead is. The man was taking the position that actually nobody knows, and nobody can really know, because after all, man is mortal and we're so fallible and human life is so frail and imperfect. Who can claim perfection of knowing God? But it is for this very reason that Krishna makes his appearance. He is saying to everyone, here I am, so that all doubt can be dispelled. Of course, this is very difficult for a faith listener. But for a faith person, everything becomes difficult, moving from one side of the world to the other. Simple equity becomes very difficult for a faithless person. What did the progressing on the positive values of human life. Therefore, Krishna makes the most understanding of the absolute truth. It's actually very important to understand properly. Have this understanding from Bhagavad Gita. Janma machame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. Described also very nicely in Prabhupada's writings. But Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita that we can understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not have to take birth again in this material world. Who is there that can claim that they not? Except for one who God reveals himself directly. That person can know, or those persons can know. So this is some understanding from the Srimad Bhagavatam why Krishna makes his appearance. And I'll read her. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts the form of matter in the modes of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan is transcendental to any real idea. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted that Narayana paro vyakat, the material creation is caused by the avyakta, impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-fundamental total reservation of matter, and Krishna is transcendental to that material conception that is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva, or transcendental. He does not belong to the material mode of goodness, and he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental eternal status of bliss and knowledge. And now the prayers of the demigods continue. Dear Lord, and this is now while Krishna is still within the womb of they're praying. Dear Lord, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names, forms, according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyamasundara because of your transcendental beauty. Shyam means blackish, yet they say that you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids. Kandara Pakoti Karamaniya. Or appear in a color which is compared to the blackish cloud, because you are transcendental absolute, your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of Cupid. Sometimes you are called Giridhari, because you lifted the hill known as Gauranga. You are sometimes called Nanda Nandana, or Vasudeva, or Devaki Nandana, because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda, or Devaki, or Vasudeva. Impersonalists think that your names or forms are according to a particular type of work and quality, because they accept you from the position of a material observer. Our dear Lord, the way of understanding is not to study your absolute nature, form, and activity by mental speculation. One must engage himself in devotional service. Then one can understand your absolute nature, transcendental form, name, and quality. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for the service of your lotus can understand your transcendental nature or form and quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, but it is not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna can be understood by the non-devotees. Krishna cannot be understood by the non-devotees because there is a curtain of yoga maya which covers Krishna's actual features. That's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakara Sarvasya. The Lord says, I am not exposed to everyone. When Krishna came, he was actually present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and everyone saw him. But not everyone could understand that he was the same personality of Godhead. Still, everyone who died in his presence attained complete liberation from material bondage and was transferred to the spiritual world. And so I'll go on reading, but these descriptions are getting some nice indication of the transcendental glory of Krishna. Sometimes people want to know, again because they have an impersonal conception of liberation, they want to know, what did somebody do in the liberated state? It almost sounds like when liberated, that you're just supposed to be standing in an animation somewhere, just immobile, inert or something. Become one of the many twinkling stars in the sky. Just glow and let off a little light here and there. And do nothing. But this is material idea, the idea of liberation. Actually, the liberated souls, Krishna describes that their activity is just as we're doing now. To hear and describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. This is the example being set by the demigods as well. They're coming before Lord Krishna. They know exactly who Lord Krishna is. And they're coming before him, offering various prayers. And in these prayers, delineating the difference between the material conception of life and the spiritual conception of life. The material conception of life is to think that God is like us. It's very convenient to think that way. If you think that God is like us, what does that mean? It means that you can also become God. If God is, this is the impersonal idea. God is the unborn, unmanifest. And when unborn, unmanifest takes on form, that form is in the mode of goodness. Here Prabhupada is directly addressing this mistaken idea. That means then the activities of the personality of Godhead are just iteration, myth, fantasy, folklore, and many higher institutions of learning, at least here in America, this is exactly the way they consider the Vedic literature. The imaginations of fanciful poets who just happen to write in a different language, that's all. And that God assumes some form, but this is directly contradicted in the Vedic texts themselves, within Krishna's words himself. He is describing. Most people are foolish that think that I have assumed this form and personality. They do not know my higher nature, which is changeless and supreme. Unfortunately, without being willing to serve Krishna, and frankly, being willing to serve Krishna in any capacity, in any way, as he desires, without even the slightest trace of service with devotion, there's no way that one can understand Krishna. This is being described in these prayers. The most erudite of scholars, the most learned of them, in all worldly sciences, even Vedic literatures themselves, without being saturated with devotion, then it's not possible to understand the personality of Godhead. Demigods are praying in this way also. Just as we have the form of Radha Govinda, they're so beautifully decorated. And Prabhupada described in this way, this deity worship is essential for making spiritual progress. You won't find this deity worship in religions of the Western world. And therefore it's very difficult for persons of the Western world with that background and training and conditioning to understand clearly the importance of deity worship. Understand what is the form of Krishna. What is this Adigraha? However, it's essential in Vaishnava. The description is there are two parallel tracks, just like a car moves on wheels. Sets of wheels must be there. Or as a train moves on rails, both of the rails must be there. Otherwise the train would flip over and derail. So those two parallel paths that must be followed are the path of Bhakti and also the path of Pancharachiti Bhakti. This Bhagavat Bhakti is what we're doing now. Hearing and describing the glories of the personality of Godhead. Or, in general, our preaching work. But also, side by side, there must also be this deity worship. What we describe in this way, do you think that we're fools? We've come to your country, America, rich to nothing, and now we have temples all over the world, and thousands of disciples. Do you think that we're so foolish that we just squander our funds and energy in this way, worshiping idol? Do you think that we are so foolish? Here we're decorating Radha Govinda so nicely. And the description carries on. The auspicious conditions of Krishna's appearance are so wonderful. Is this just some accident? Or some fictitious imagination of some writer? No. Where Krishna is present, everything becomes very auspicious. And when the worship of Krishna is performed very nicely, Krishna reveals himself. So I'll just go describe him. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. But the appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He appears out of his sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star as Rohini was also prominent, because this star is considered to be very auspicious. Rohini under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides this proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments, the different situations of the planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, north, south, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky and on the surface in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forests began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. The blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers. The sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmins were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, and their home is very pleasant for offerings. Due to this is created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire altar had been almost stopped in the house of the Brahmins. But now, they find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden, because as you can remember, at least I'll refresh the memory of everyone who has heard this description so many times. The appearance of Krishna came at the request of Lord Brahma at the shore of the milk ocean. Lord had been petitioned by all the demigods, because the demoniac forces on the surface of the earth were becoming overrun, out of control. The demigods, being responsible for managing the affairs of the universe, became very much afraid for the well-being of the Earth planet. Therefore, Mother Earth, Bhumi, in the form of a cow, along with the various demigods, went to appeal to Lord Brahma. But as is being described previously, the proper sacrifice had become very difficult to perform because of the disturbing conditions on the planet. But by the time of Krishna's appearance, appeal and serene atmosphere completely changed everything. But now the Brahmins found it very easy to perform their sacrifices. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmins were versed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, actually their minds became full of joy. because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky, transcendental sounds, proclaiming the appearance of this personality of Godhead. Denizens of the Gandharva and Kinnara planets began to sing, and the denizens of Siddhaloka and the planets of the Charanas began to offer prayers in the service of the personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planet, the angels, along with their wives, accompanied by the Apsaras, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods began to shower flowers. At the shore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very fleetingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, darkness of night, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who also appeared as one of the demi-goddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared with the full moon in the sky as it rises on the eastern horizon. The objection may be read, since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in Hasti, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night because of the Lord's appearance in a dynasty wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition, so by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just as a full moon. The astronomical treatise by the name Kamanika, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna, was very nicely described. It is confirmed the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Vasudev saw that the wonderful child born as a baby with four hands holding conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Sri Vatsa, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kaustubha stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing yellow silk, appearing dazzling, wearing a helmet bedecked with the Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary features of the child, Vasudev was struck with wonder. Here is this feature of Lord Vishnu, of full stature as a full-grown adult, bedecked with dazzling jewels and ornaments and bracelets and full head of hair, and not an ordinary appearance of a young child. So Vasudeva is immediately bewildered, because their relationship with Krishna was that of parental affection. So you can read the prayers that follow. But immediately Vasudeva was offering prayers to the personality of Godhead, who was his son, but then requesting Krishna to appear as the youthful child, Krishna. These activities the impersonalists have a great deal of difficulty giving some explanation for. How is it possible for this form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear in at the moment of birth as the form of Lord Narayan, and then by the invocation of the prayers of his so-called mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, he assumed the form of an infant? The proposal of the impersonalist philosophers cannot offer an explanation for this. However, the Vaishnava commentaries make it very clear that actually, just as Krishna appeared according to the prayers offered by his loving devotees, so also the assuming of the childlike form of Krishna was manifest by the love of his devotees also. This is a very important feature of Krishna's appearance to be remembered and understood as clearly as possible on this Janmashtami day. No one can control the personality of Godhead. But the motive, all the modes of nature, they're under the Lord's direction. Tribir Gunamayir Bhavaya. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. So many ways Krishna is describing this material energy is under his direction. The modes of nature are under the direction of the Lord. No one can control Krishna directly. That means he can do as he likes. And yet our Vaishnava understanding is that there is one thing by which Krishna is obliged, and that is the love of his devotees. Because the loving prayers offered by Lord Brahma, Krishna appeared. And because of the love in Vasudeva and Devaki, although appearing originally in the Narayan feature, Krishna appeared in the childlike form. And because of his childlike form, the degree of intimacy of loving dealings was enhanced. The description is given that these two personalities, Vasudeva and Devaki, in their previous lives, they had performed extreme and extended austerities and penances simply to gain the favor of the personality of Godhead. And when gaining the favor of the personality of Godhead, this was their request. To have the personality of Godhead directly as their son. To love, to express the affection and exchange affectionate loving dealings with the Supreme Lord in this way. This is to the, what to speak of to the religionist or to the materialist, even for those persons very advanced in religious understanding. This is a difficult thing. To relate to. Because for the most part, religion has it that God is to be approached with great reverence and veneration. But in the appearance of Lord Krishna, it becomes revealed the actual position of God as the lovable object of all living entities. And the affection of that love can be expressed in so many different ways. The description is there in Bhagavad Gita of the spiritual world as the original feature. And from that original feature, this material world is but a reflection. So everything that we find in this material world is there in its perfection in God, in the spiritual world. Practically speaking, I can say this from my experience, that people of most religions will acknowledge this fact, the fact of the material world being simply a representation of the real thing, the spiritual world. But there's great difficulty, even though this is acknowledged, they have great difficulty in accepting the various relationships that can exist with the personality of Godhead. Although there's very clear indication within the world's scriptures that God is person, but it actually comes down to acknowledging the form of God, there is great difficulty. They prefer to say, no, God cannot have a form like that. God cannot be limited like that. Therefore Krishna appears to reveal his full feature for all living entities, for all time. Here, some 5,000 years after the appearance of Lord Krishna, the appreciation of this special sacred day is being honored. And immediately it gives all persons the opportunity to concentrate their attention on the form of God. This is part, such an important part of bhakti. So, I think the schedule calls now for some bhajans. If there's any question or comment on any of these readings you'd like to raise? Yes? Time for the bhajans to begin? Lord is accomplishing many things with one thing, many things at once. But that was the external order of events. Because Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita, Pratanaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. When the miscreant population misbehaves, chastisement comes from God. And when those who are religious want to take shelter of Him, He provides that shelter. And also Krishna takes it upon Himself to establish eternal principles for people to guide their lives back to the spiritual world. So He comes to reestablish that. Each of these things, they're the reasons that Krishna gives Himself for His appearance. There, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. That's how close he was to Opa. His brother
ISKCON from that side. So the mood from this meeting was that that wasn't going to happen. Bhaktiprabhu doesn't want it to happen. Leaders also don't want it to happen. There's a greater mood of cooperation, in other words. So another topic, well, it can be said practically at the same time. Srila Ramaswamy was also in attendance at the meeting. There was a discussion and a vote taken that he would take a leave of absence from his GBC responsibilities in Los Angeles. And I assume that applies for here as well, and travel and preach, not functioning in an official GBC manner or capacity. He's still all of his functions, for example, running of the Christmas Marathon in Los Angeles, which he's done every year since he's practically been a devotee there, that will go on in his preaching and working with his disciples and so forth. That will go on. And he will not be initiating between now and Mayapur, and the whole situation will also be reviewed in Mayapur. And pretty much the same resolution was passed concerning Srila Bhavananda Maharaj. And a list of other particulars were requested in addition. And I don't know what that list of particulars are. It includes a couple of things that I do know that it includes. It includes when he stays at a temple, he should stay within the temple. In other words, when he comes to visit us in September, I spoke with him on the phone yesterday. He's due to arrive in New York, I think it's the 7th of September. And at least a resolution was passed which he can accept or not accept voluntarily. But the request was that when he's staying in a particular region, he stay at that temple. In other words, as opposed to the place in Manhattan, but Zambarish's place, he's being requested to stay right here with the devotees, attend the whole program, and so forth. So I don't know if I can answer anybody's questions, but I'll try. If somebody has a question on any of this. I don't know at all the reasons that, you know, the GBC executive committee and the members who are attending the meeting are privy to as to why there's such a resolution made. I don't know the reasons behind what they considered very carefully before passing the resolution. Srila Ramaswar accepted that resolution. Naikatma? No. Swavas is the temple president in Los Angeles. There's no other GBC person that's been appointed Nothing, in other words, nothing has changed other than his accepting this recommendation of the GBC from the duration of time from now until the Mayapur meetings at Gopuneem time. Same? Well, a resolution was passed, similar, and he has to reply to that resolution. The recommendation was being made. We'll see if he accepts. That's when I spoke with him yesterday. He didn't say one way or the other. I don't know. I don't even know if he knew, because we didn't get into that. Yes. Devotional service is voluntary. It's supposed to be binding on members of ISKCON, yes. A recommendation was being made. The resolution was a recommendation. He may or may not accept the recommendation. Right. Yes. Anything else? Yes? All right. No. So I think these notes that I'll repeat something that I feel is very significant in all of this, and that is that our society doesn't stand for this kind of activity that's being accused. As the article admits, our society, the quote is being made, as Panchatattva mentioned, by a professor who is representing, according to the theology of Vaishnavism, our society is representing that, and that is pure living. And by and large, within our ISKCON movement, that is what's going on. That's admitted within the article. And if there's any accusation of something other than that, the persons who are being accused are opening their doors to having that looked into with a willingness to, if there is something that's not right, have it removed. And if there's something that is accused that it isn't correct, have that doubt removed. You don't always find that, and it's very rare to find that response. Because it's going on, in fact. And that this, the facts aren't very clearly represented or misrepresented. That some person many years ago, who wasn't even a devotee, is being called an ISKCON leader and an intimate associate of the founder, Srila Prabhupada, who is doing something illegal, has nothing to do with our society. And much in the same way, this current accusation is being made of somebody who is kicked out of our society for doing whatever he was doing within our society that was unbefitting of a devotee. He's not of the character of a devotee to begin with. So if in fact he's done something that's unbefitting of the character of the devotee, that's not our fault. And whether the man is guilty or not guilty, that's unknown. It's undetermined even by court of law. He hasn't admitted to it. Whether or not, in fact, he did it, we don't know. And the members, the leaders of the New Vrindavan community are very strongly, the article indicates, they're very strongly denying having any connection whatsoever with this man, his activity, this particular event. You want to add something to that in review? Yeah. The article says what you just said. And there isn't... The article is simply saying one party is saying some accusatory thing, the person accused is saying that there's no substance to the accusation. But there's nothing factual being represented at all thus far. And I would like to reiterate this one point also. There may be something factual that may in the future come up. We don't know. Therefore, don't make some statement that will leave you in an embarrassing position later on. What Lochan Anavud said is completely correct. This article doesn't present anything factual. There isn't anything factual being presented here to tie the leaders of the New Vrindavan community in to this crime.